News of the Times. Murderous Mondays. Baroness killing of a countess. Welcome to News of the Times. In today's episode, we examine the story that grabbed the international headlines of 1868 in Munich. The Count Korinsky, a decorated soldier of the Austrian army, and his wife, a former actress, have had an unhappy marriage, and after 4 years of their Roman Catholic marriage, they have been awarded a divorce with the standard requirement that neither can ever marry again. At a party in 1867, Count Korinsky meets 25-year-old Hungarian Baroness Julia Evgenji. The two quickly form an intimate attraction. In 1868, the Count's ex-wife, the Countess Chorinsky, is found dead, poisoned by prussic acid, from a mysterious female stranger that she had had tea with. The deadly international love triangle from the highest levels of aristocracy excites the interest of the continent as well as England. We take a look at the background, the salacious love letters, the plot to kill and the capture of the Baroness killing of a countess in today's episode of Murderous Mondays. We hope you enjoy the show. We begin with the crime that exploded across the papers internationally. From the Liverpool Mercury, the 5th of December, 1867. Murder of an Austrian countess. Arrest of her husband and his paramour. The Vienna correspondent of the Daily Telegraph, writing from that city on the 30th, "The Austrian and Hungarian aristocracy have recently sustained a great shock through the murder of Countess Matilda Korinsky at Munich, in consequence of which two persons of high families are at present under arrest on grave suspicion, and seven or eight of the great courtly families of Austria are thrown into mourning. The unfortunate young lady who has fallen a victim, it is feared, to the hatred of a successful rival, was the wife of Lieutenant Count Korinsky, son of the Stadthalter or Lord Lieutenant of Nether Austria, and had for some time been separated from her husband for reasons, however, in no way dishonourable to her. The marriage, a love match, made against the wishes of Lieutenant Korinsky's family, did not turn out happily, and Madame de Korinsky took up her residence in Munich, her native town, where, being in delicate health, she lived in great retirement, whilst her husband, who had formed a connection with a beautiful woman of title, Baroness Julia Evgenji, inhabited this capital. His dislike to his invalid wife increased in an inverse ratio to his fascination by Madame Evgenji, who appears to have acquired an absolute power over him, greatly to the distress of his family, which, won over by the beauty and amiability of the ill-fated countess, earnestly desired the rehabilitation of the youthful marriage. Last week, Madame de Korinsky was found dead in her room shortly after having received a strange lady with whom she held a long interview. The lady in question left her late in the evening, and on her servant entering her boudoir to assist in undressing her, the countess was discovered lying lifeless on the floor. The authorities, rightly suspecting that all was not as it should be, ordered a post-mortem examination of the body to be made, which resulted in the discovery of poison in the stomach, and a further analysis of the blood 5 days afterwards proved that the deadly draught, either taken by or administered to her, must have been terribly powerful. Two nights ago, in consequence of communications received by the Vienna police office from Munich, Baroness Evgenyi was arrested at her apartments and conveyed to police, where she has been the subject to a stringent interrogation within closed doors. There appears to be little doubt that she was the mysterious lady who visited Countess Korinsky on the evening of the latter's sudden death, it having been proved that she was absent from her home during the time required to travel hence to Munich and return after a few hours' stay, that she drove to the train station where she took a ticket for a station in Bavaria, and that she returned to her apartments in great agitation of mind, restless, pale, weeping, refusing to eat, a state of things which continued for 2 days after her arrival. Some small change in Bavarian silver, or what stands for that precious metal in southern Germany, was found in her possession, although she denied having been across the frontier. Lieutenant Korinsky was arrested in Munich at the same time that his mistress was taken into custody here. Madame Evgenyi is a canoness of the Brunn Order and is 25 years of age and possessed of great personal attraction. The whole case, which is likely to prove a complicated one, awaits the deepest interest in the public mind, both in Vienna and Munich, as well as in Pest. The popular impression here is that the poison which caused the death of the unfortunate young countess was dropped by her murderess into a cup of tea, which the victim swallowed, unconscious of its deadly content. The Stadthalter has returned from Munich, where he followed the body of his daughter-in-law to the grave. She was buried under her maiden name, Matilda von Ledski. The question on everyone's mind is, how could such an extreme measure be taken? And who was really guilty? Did the Baroness Evgenyi act independently, or was the Count involved too? And what of the victim, the innocent Countess Korinsky? From the Pall Mall Gazette, 12th of August, 1868. A German poisoning case, a story of love and murder. Count Korinsky was a lieutenant in the Austrian army. His wife, Matilda Ruf, was an actress of great beauty, born in Bavaria, whom he married in 1860 while serving in the papal army, the young lady having gone south to obtain an engagement. The marriage was not a happy one. The pair repeatedly quarrelled in the inns where they stayed, and in the winter of 1864 they obtained a divorce, such a divorce as is sanctioned by the Roman Catholic Church, the divorced parties not being allowed to marry again. The Countess went to live with her father-in-law, and the Count re-entered the Austrian army as a private soldier, and by dint of bravery and good conduct during the campaign of Schleswig-Holstein, got promoted to his old position. The Count was again in arms during the Prussian War, and fought at the Battle of Königgrätz. In July 1866, he returned home badly wounded. His wife, notified of his arrival, left Vienna for Ulm, where she accepted the address of a young student and afterwards went to live at Munich, where she gave birth to a child, stillborn. She then engaged apartments in the house of a widow named Eliza Hartmann, and lived there till the 21st of November 1867. She is described as being extremely prepossessing, irrespective of her beauty, with fair hair and brown eyes, and a fair but not a pale face. Count Kerensky had met Baroness Julia de Ebegeny at a party in 1867. It would seem from the wealth of letters found on him that the relationship was a highly passionate one, with an insistence of marriage. The only thing standing in their way was his ex-wife. There was an added bonus to her death in that her healthy financial balance of remaining money would be transferred to him. The crime. In Munich, the Countess Kerensky, now banished from her father-in-law's house on account of her ex-husband, lives a quiet life in her own apartments in Munich, her hometown. On the 22nd of November, she receives a mysterious female guest with whom she spends several hours over tea. A few hours later, she is dead by prussic poisoning. From the Bendigo Advertiser, the 27th of February, 1868. A mysterious affair at Munich. Considerable excitement prevails just now at Munich in connection and consequences of a mysterious death from poison. The Countess Kerensky, whose husband holds a high post at Vienna, had for rather more than a year been occupying an apartment in a furnished hotel of the Bavarian capital. The mistress of the house, not having seen the lady for 48 hours, forcibly opened the door of her chamber and found her lying on the floor, lifeless, between the table and the sofa. It was remembered that a good-looking young lady, calling herself Baroness de V, had arrived at Munich from Vienna about a fortnight before, and had either made or renewed an acquaintance with Madame Kerensky. That on the day of her death, the Baroness had sent a servant for two theatre tickets, telling him to carry them to the Countess with her compliments and the promise of an immediate visit. The domestic executed his orders and on his arrival found the two ladies taking tea together. He also heard them giving orders to the mistress to get them a carriage. The latter went out for that purpose, and on her return found the door of the room locked inside. She therefore supposed that the ladies had gone out on foot, but a post-mortem examination of the body proved that the Countess must have expired from the effects of prussic acid during the absence of the landlady, which did not exceed 3/4 of an hour. The Baroness, it appeared, had returned to her own hotel and then taken her departure from the city. When the circumstances became known, the law officers sent a messenger to the husband suggesting the propriety of his coming from Vienna to aid the officers of justice in their endeavours to arrive at the truth. He immediately complied and became accompanied by his father. The young man is a lieutenant in the army and has been employed at the Ministry of War since his return from Mexico, whither he had accompanied the Emperor Maximilian. The father is Governor General and occupies one of the highest posts in the Empire. The son went at once to the office of the examining magistrate and, after a first interrogatory, this latter ordered the arrest of the young man. On him was found the miniature of a lady, which the mistress of the hotel declared to be the likeness of the Baroness de V. But on a photograph of it arriving at Vienna, the police of that city affirmed it to be the picture of a lady of good family, the Baroness Julia Evgeny, residing in the Austrian capital. She had been arrested in her turn, but protests her innocence and ignorance of the whole affair, and so the matter rests at present. With the pictures of Baroness Julia Evgeny found on the Count of Kerensky's cross-checked with witnesses of the mysterious visitor, Baroness de Vey, who had been the last person to be seen with the Countess Kerensky alive, it is quite clear that Baroness Julia von Evgeny is the lead suspect. As police continue their investigation, they find some remaining prussic acid in her possession, the key to the Countess's flat, a false passport, and damning letters from Count Kerensky. Her initial protestations of innocence and of having not visited Munich are further shown to be lies, as some small change from the country is found on her. The case against her is utterly damning, with a clear motive of love and marriage between the two being blocked by the still alive former wife, Countess Kerensky. The question remains is how culpable Count Kerensky is in the murder of his former wife. From the Pall Mall Gazette, 12th of August, 1868, a German poisoning case, a story of love and murder. It was a Wednesday morning, the day, the 20th of November, the year, 1867. The time a little before daybreak, when a young lady, elegantly dressed, entered the hotel of the Four Seasons at Munich. She had come by train from Salzburg and gave her name as Fräulein Vey of Vienna. She engaged a room and, after reposing for a few hours and taking lunch, went out to examine the city, returning to the hotel later in the evening. On the following day, that is to say, on Thursday, the 21st of November, the stranger remained in her room till midday. One of the chambermaids, entering at about 11 o'clock, found her awake and very much agitated. She had jewels on her fingers, and her hands were very white and beautiful. But she completed her toilet without washing them and smoked a cigarette. At midday, she was dressed and ready to go out. She was pale and wild-looking, with black eyes and hair, and a face which might be called sympathetic rather than beautiful. She wore a black silk dress with streaks of white, a mantle of the same kind, a black pelisse, and a fancy hat or bonnet, equally sombre, but relieved by lilac ribbons. Her brooch and earrings, also black, were carved into the shape of death heads. At a little before 3 o'clock, this lady ordered a bottle of Lunel and half a bottle of ordinary wine, and had them poured into two vials, which she took out of her box. Where she went, or how she occupied her time between 3 and 4, has not transpired, but at 4 o'clock she was seen to enter the reception of the Countess Kerensky, for whom she had somehow or other got a letter of introduction. What they said to each other when they met has not been divulged. One cannot speak, and the other will not speak. The two ladies, one in gay and pretty clothes, the other in black, with death's heads in her ears, left the hotel together to make purchases in the city. Shortly after 5 o'clock, they returned to the Countess's apartments, and a gentleman who was lodging in an adjacent room state that he overheard the two ladies talking in a very friendly manner, and is quite sure they took tea together. The lady in black, here we have the landlady's statement, rang the bell and ordered a carriage to be fetched at 7:30, that is to say, in time for the theatre. At the hour named, the landlady ascended the staircase to announce the carriage, but found the door locked and the key taken away. She sat up all night and the following night, and on the third day sent for the police, who broke the door open. A frightful scene presented itself. The Countess was found lying on the floor, quite dead, between the sofa and the table, her head bent forward upon her bosom. Blood had flowed from her mouth down to her dress, and thence onto the floor. Her eyes were wide open, but the body showed no sign of outward violence. As the lodger had supposed, the table was set for tea, with fruits, milk, wine, etc., and there was a cup of half empty on the right-hand side of the place supposed to have been occupied by the deceased. The stranger had disappeared. On the room being searched, it was found that the Countess had not been robbed. Her money, her watch, and some jewels of value were found in different parts of the room, and the conclusion arrived at by the police was that a murder and not a suicide had been committed, and that the murderer was not a thief. As to the deceased having committed suicide, everyone who knew her testified to the cheerfulness of her disposition, the commands that she had of ready money, and her love of life. Dr. Buchner of the University of Bavaria, being deposed to view the body, established beyond a doubt that death had been caused by a dose of prussic acid, more than enough to destroy life. No traces of poison could be found in the tea or in any of the fruits or other viands on the table, but the teapot, an object of no value whatever, had disappeared. Two searches, therefore, were made in Munich, a search for a lady in black and a search for an old teapot. Suspicion pointed to Mademoiselle de Vey, who left for Vienna on the night of the murder. Meantime, the two counts, Kerensky, father-in-law and husband of the deceased, were summoned to Munich. The former saw and identified the body, but the latter refused to attend the post-mortem examination and even absented himself from the funeral, alleging that he was tired from his journey and that he had never been on good terms with his wife, even during her lifetime. This excuse did not prevent his being forced to put in an appearance, and his conduct before the magistrate was so strange that he was submitted not only to a verbal but to a manual examination. His pockets were searched, and in one of them were found four cartes de visite, which turned out to be a portrait of Madame V. The Count stated that her real name was Julia von Ebergeny, Baroness de Tekla, and gave her address as number 13, Krugerstrasse, Vienna, and declared that she had never been to Munich in her life. By a coincidence explained by the electric telegraph, the police of Vienna entered the house of Mademoiselle Ebergeny at the very time that the police of Munich were examining her carte de visite. Her portrait was her accuser, and although silent, its voice reached her at a distance of some hundreds of miles. On being asked whether she knew Count Kerensky, she turned pale, and it is said that her eyes became phosphorescent. She placed her hand on her heart and said, turning to the police, "I am innocent." Again, bursting into tears, she cried out, "I am innocent. Will you take me to prison?" and sank down in a chair in a paroxysm of grief. But she mastered her emotion and, starting to her feet, said that she was ready to follow the officers of the law, but hoped she might be allowed to dress herself properly. She was in night apparel, which was granted. She was then taken to prison. Mademoiselle Abegényi, a canoness of a religious house in Germany, is a Hungarian of noble birth and 26 years of age. She is an orphan and is said to have been at one time under the protection of the late Queen of Naples, but this statement seems doubtful, inasmuch as it is also made about the Countess Kurinsky. Mademoiselle Abegényi seems to have lived a double life and to be considered not altogether comme il faut, although not actually belonging to the demi-monde. On her first, and only on her first examination, she confessed her guilt, stating that she had bought prussic acid off a photographer and had poured it into the Countess's teapot while they were drinking each other's health. She blew out the candles the moment she saw her companion fall to the ground and felt her way to the door, locking it after her and descending the staircase in the dark. But she afterwards contradicted herself. Although she acknowledged that she had put the key of the Countess's door in her pocket, she denied that she had committed the murder. "I know who did it," she exclaimed, "but I will rather die than say who it was." After saying this, she changed colour and asked to be allowed to recall her words as they were not true. She then stated with an appearance of great frankness that the deceased had killed herself for spite, in order that she, Madame Evgeny, might be sentenced to death. In the possession of the accused were found 9 keys, one of which opened a cupboard in the Countess's room and a small bottle containing prussic acid. Also a number of letters written to the deceased lady by her father-in-law. The teapot was nowhere to be found, but it was known to have been taken away to be cleaned, and the missing key which locked the Countess up in a, as a tomb was thrown into the Danube. On the other hand, the accused had papers in her possession, which seems to throw the chief blame of the murder on another person. These consist of letters addressed to Mademoiselle Evgeny and were written by Count Kurinsky. One of them contains the following words: "I must marry you. You must do what you can to make it possible for us to be married before God and man." And in other letters, "I have to speak to you about that affair. I will overcome everything as a man of energy because I cannot live without you." Another letter was cited at the trial which seems to remove all doubts as to the culpability of the Count. A proportion of it runs as follows: "In this way, everything will succeed with the help of God. I want to speak to you again today. I will notify to you at 1 or 2 inns at Munich. We will pray together that everything may end happily, and we will omit nothing which may enable us at once to realize our marriage. For I cannot live on in this way. I place all my trust in you. I hope you will succeed. If, however, it is impossible, we will take more energetic steps. O God, may the time of our marriage arrive soon. That is my most earnest desire and prayer. I will act with more energy in order that you may not remain separated from me longer than is absolutely necessary." A still more atrocious epistle bearing the date of the 19th of November, 2 days before the murder was committed, concludes in these terms: "May you succeed and return very soon, forever, to my arms. I can only pray for you, but you will not put yourself into danger, I hope. Now is the time for all our hopes to be realized. God bless you and protect you. In another letter dated November the 20th, the day on which the Lady in Black made her fatal entrance into Munich, the pious lover exclaims, "You have sworn in the name of all that is sacred that you will not spare her. I tremble for you. I am so nervous. Tomorrow I will receive, with the help of God, one of your dear letters to console me." The writer of these letters had other reasons besides sentimental ones for desiring his wife's death. The capital of 12,000 florins, the interest of which she was receiving in monthly instalments, would be his at her demise. Another remarkable thing about this affair is that the lovers had originally intended to become Protestants, so that the court, his religion being changed, might have a real divorce from his wife. However, on reflection, they preferred to kill the lady and keep true to their religion. This came out in the evidence. The accused was found guilty of the willful murder of Matilda, Countess of Kerensky, and sentenced to 20 years penal servitude, and at the expiration of each year to 1 week's solitary confinement in lieu of the punishment of chains abolished in Austria by the law which came into force last winter. She was also condemned to the permanent loss of her nobility. It was urged in her defence that she was a weak woman, seduced to deeds of violence by an infamous lover, and her conduct at the trial was referred to in eloquent terms. When asked if she had anything to say about Count Kerensky, she said in a low voice and with the tears streaming down her cheeks, "I love him," and declined to say anything in his prejudice. What will be done to him remains to be seen. It seems that he has testified his willingness to go to Australia or America, or in fact anywhere out of the way, and that the Emperor has been appealed to on his behalf, the plea being that he is a soldier who has served his country too well to be abandoned in his hour of need. Count Kerensky is condemned to life in prison in Germany, as he is seen as the main instigator of the plot to murder his ex-wife. He doesn't cope with prison life well. From the North London Record, the 26th of November, 1868, Count Kerensky was some time back condemned to imprisonment for life in Germany with his mistress and accomplice, the Baroness Ebigenyi, for poisoning his wife, as after manifesting symptoms of mental alienation, gone raving mad and has to be confined with a straitjacket. Some 4 months later, the former Baroness Julia Ebigenyi attempts a bold escape from prison with the help of an old family servant. It fails just as she approaches the prison gates and potential freedom. From the lady's own paper, the 10th of April, 1869, attempted escape from prison. The Baroness Julia Ebigenyi, who, as may be remembered, was about 2 years back condemned to imprisonment for life for having, with Count Kerensky, poisoned the wife of the latter, has just made an attempt to escape from the prison of Nendorf under the disguise of a nun. She was, however, detected and stopped by one of the jailers at the moment she was about to go through the gates. A lady belonging to a high family of Vienna was waiting for her outside with a carriage. With her failed prison attempt, the knowledge of the madness of her lover, and 20 years' imprisonment, Julia Ebigenyi former baroness, dies from consumption in prison. From the Cork Daily Herald, the 22nd of July, 1869. Julia Evgeny, the aristocratic murderess of the Countess Korinsky, died recently of consumption at the needed penitentiary. That concludes this episode of Murderous Mondays, the Baroness Killing of a Countess. We very much hope you enjoyed the show. If you did enjoy this show, we would be grateful if you could like or subscribe to our channel. We upload 5 days a week. Mondays are murderous as we delve into the dark side of Regency and Victorian crime. Wednesdays are wicked, where we pull together stories with a similar theme, such as Doctors of Death. Fridays are frightful, where we look at crimes in a location, such as stories from the stage to murder and scandal in the aristocracy. Saturdays is Serial Killer Saturdays, where we investigate serial killer stories from the past. On the last Sunday of the month, we offer a 2-hour compilation of stories based around a theme. If you like this channel, you may be interested in our sister channel, Chronicle of the Times, where we offer a lighter side of Victorian and Edwardian news stories, as well as a weekly podcast of stories from authors of the day, such as Dickens, Collins, Benson, and Conan Doyle. Thank you again for watching and listening. This has been News of the Times, and I am Robin Coles.